The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
New video released by Israel's army shows the damage to one of its air bases after Iran's attack. Now, the barrage of drones and missiles left a large hole in the ground at the Nevatim air base in southern Israel. There was also damage to a road in the area of Hermon. Israel says the vast majority of Iran's projectiles were intercepted.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. Thank you. Boy, that was unbelievable, though, wasn't it? It was crazy. I got a text. I was really disconnected on Saturday. And I was actually reading a book by Dr. Paul Kangor. It's not released yet. He wrote a book on stigmatics, those who bore the wounds of Christ, right? And there was a section in there. He was talking about Faustina, St. Faustina's own encounter. And I was going through it. He quoted me in the book, and he broke down some of the real big ones. The book's soon to be released, and they asked me to endorse it, so I wanted to read it before I gave my endorsement to it. And in the middle of reading this book, I'm engrossed in it. A buddy of mine, a former NBC bureau chief guy from South America who's constantly into the news, calls me and says, "You see what happens? You see what's happening?" I'm like, "What?" He said, turn on the TV. Turn on the TV, and what happens? Now, of course, We realized that Iran was retaliating against Israel. And this took place on Saturday. He said 300 drones. You know all this because it's relatively old news right now. Ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, 99% of those were either intercepted or failed to launch or somehow failed to deliver. Thank God. Right. So I'm not going to dwell on this today. I've got a lot of other things to get into, but things are heating up, aren't they? I just saw a report. Tomorrow I will dive into it in greater detail on how it will affect you and how it will affect me because, you know, you had Iran come out today, and the Iranian officials are threatening the U.S. not to retaliate, not to get involved. Thankfully, the Iranian drone attacks were all stopped. NBC News was reporting it could have been a lot worse. In fact, one American cardinal had to take shelter. Do you know who it was? Listen to this. Number two, Maggie.
Also threatened, the nearby Christian town of Bethlehem. Visiting American Cardinal Dolan forced to take shelter. In the end, there was almost no damage. President Biden praising American troops involved.
You're incredible.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Keep it going. Stay safe, man.
In Iran, they celebrated the nation's first direct attack against Israel. Retaliation for an Israeli airstrike 2 weeks ago on the Iranian embassy compound in Damascus that killed seven members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard.
So let me ask you a question. What were you doing when that went down? Did you stop and pray? Or were you absorbed into the media coverage of it all and let your anxiety levels rise? I always, when I see these events, you know, you and I can have a profound impact on national events. Prayer changes things, right? It can allow cooler heads to prevail. It can bring protection. I often think of I believe they were Jesuit priests at Ground Zero when the atomic bomb went off in Hiroshima. And it, as we know, the devastation was horrible. They should have been vaporized, but they weren't. They were divinely protected. God is in control of everything. When you see these events, pray for protection over our nation. Pray for peace. Pray for those that are involved, all right? Pray for that. The Jerusalem Post was reporting that, Iran told Turkey that it was going to happen. Turkey then relayed the information to the U.S., and President Biden gave his go-ahead, but with certain limits. So Biden had asked Israel not to respond to the attack, but Israel wasn't happy with that request, and they've called up two reserve brigades, and it looks like it could be readying for an attack on Rafah, where, you know, Iran's proxy, Hamas, has a stronghold. One other story here, too, which I find is interesting. The Holy Father has voiced his, you know, position on this. He's called for an end to hostilities. He said, here, let me share with you what he said. This comes from Sky News Australia. Listen.
Iran and Israel have been warned by the Pope not to cause a spiral of violence, risking greater conflict in the Middle East. Pope Francis expressed his concern and pain of Iran's drone-attacked crowds in St. Peter's Square. He's calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, negotiations for humanitarian aid to be provided and Israeli hostages to be freed. He's asking all nations to stand for peace.
What he said actually was, I make a heartfelt appeal to stop any action that could fuel a spiral of violence. No one should threaten the existence of others. And that's what we're seeing here, too. So a lot is going on, too. The American, as a citizen, you and I aren't supposed to be surveilled by the government, right? We have certain freedoms in this country that others don't. China, Russia. But after 9/11, Congress authorized the federal agencies to do just that under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It's known as FISA. And this is something that I know people vacillate on because, you know, when there's the threat of danger, people are willing to give up personal freedoms for greater security. This was something that was hotly debated. MSNBC will tell you a little bit more about this. Well, it's a controversial surveillance bill and how it's meant to help your safety. Here's what they're reporting.
Well, the number one thing it does is it expands the Foreign International Surveillance Act, which national security officials believe is a key tool that they have in their efforts to prevent terror attacks here in the United States. And the bill that they ultimately passed did not coincide with an amendment that would expand the warrant restrictions around this surveillance activity. And that was something that White House officials, members of the Department of Justice and national security officials made a last minute push because there were both Republicans and Democrats who believed that the warrant requirement needed to be a part of this reauthorization. It ended up as a tie vote, that amendment. A tie does not pass, so that warrant specification will not be part of this ultimate package. But there is still a little bit of drama associated with this. The bill passed, and ultimately passed by a pretty wide margin. But at the last minute, some conservative Republicans who are very much opposed to this legislation filed what's called a motion to reconsider, which would bring the bill back up for another vote. Everybody left because they assumed that this was the last vote of the week. So they're not going to be able to address that motion to reconsider. And there's also been a subsequent motion to table the motion to reconsider, not to get too far into the weeds here. But they're not going to be able to take that up until next week now.
So anyway, there's a lot of detail there, maybe a little too much, but what's the bottom line is there's a lot of government officials are saying, hey, we need this to keep our country safe. And of course, those who are concerned about personal freedoms and safety say, hey, this might go a little bit too far. We'll continue to monitor it, see how it all shakes out. There was a historic day, though, today in the country. The former president, Donald Trump, is in Brooklyn. Of course, he's in a courtroom on a bunch of felony charges. Mainstream media are very excited about it because it's the first time in history that a former president had to face criminal charges. And the fight, I mean, the biggest part of all this is going to be jury selection, right? I mean, how do you screen out a jury? You know, that it's tough. People are divided fundamentally into pretty much two camps. They either love Donald Trump or they hate him. Right? They're either a Democrat or they're a Republican. So can you imagine being selected, though? Could you imagine if you were in this jury pool and you said, yeah, I'm objective enough, and you know, you somehow make it through the screening process that they're going to have and be on the case? Fox News detailed what this whole jury selection process involved. Check this out.
The jury selection process could take up to 2 weeks. Now, potential jurors will be asked 42 total questions, including which cable, print, and social media platforms they get their news from. They will also be asked if they have ever attended a Trump campaign event, if they follow him on social media, and if they have ever attended anti-Trump rallies. Judge Merchan, who is overseeing the case, says there are no questions asking prospective jurors who they voted for or who they intend to vote for or whom they have made political contributions to. Now, the former president is facing 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Those charges are related to an alleged cover-up of a hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. Now, on its own, this alleged crime is a misdemeanor, and the statute of limitations has already run out. So Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg must prove that Trump intended to commit a separate crime in order to secure this felony conviction. Now, the former president's lawyer says the facts are on Trump's side.
Yeah, I heard the president say, why wasn't this brought forward 10 years ago? Right? Why now? And what is normally misdemeanors? How can Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, push this case and make them felonies? A friend of this radio program, former prosecutor Andy McCarthy, he says there's a whole lot of nothing here. A whole lot of nothing. So Bragg took these misdemeanors, the charges of falsifying business records. It should have been dismissed 3 years ago because of the statute of limitations. Right? Should have been. Divided them instead into 34 felonies to get an extension on that deadline. And they're calling the case hush money, right? Oh, it's a hush money trial because Bragg's claiming that the money from the falsification was used to pay a porn star for campaign purposes, which is a federal crime. I mean, this is a major leap, right? But it goes back again to the animus that they have towards this former president. If he wasn't running, this would not be the case. I heard somebody earlier say, with the amount of crime in the streets of New York right now, people punching old ladies in their face, sending them to the hospital, robbing them blind, you know, people afraid to take the subway, all the other problems that they're having in that city, why are they going over after a case like this? It's political in nature, and that's what the president has been saying. And I don't know whether it's going to work in the Dems' favor or the Republicans. I think a lot of people beginning to see it for what it is. Andy McCarthy pointed out that the state prosecutor, a guy like Bragg, he can't charge someone federal crimes. It's out of his purview. So this is probably going to get thrown out, I would think. There should have been some sort of, you know, settlement, some sort of something that had been settled out of court. Not the case, because they want to drag this president through the mud. So we'll see what happens. One final note here. You know what today is? Another anniversary? A couple different anniversaries. This morning I found out the anniversary of the day that Abraham Lincoln actually died. I think he was shot on the 14th and he died today on the 15th. So we'll remember his soul, of course. But it's also the anniversary of the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral there in Paris. I think it's the 5th anniversary. What a fiasco. How sad, right? I don't know if you remember the day that Notre Dame Cathedral caught fire. Let me bring you back in time. You might recall the tragedy, the heartbreak that so many felt around the world. CBS this morning had this to say in their reporting. Check it out.
Flames brought down the spire. Prayers and offers of help are coming in from all around the world.
The cathedral's main altar is covered in debris right now, but the fire started during a major renovation project.
The Paris prosecutor is saying that they are working under the belief that this fire was started by an accident, and there are around 50 people working on the investigation. Paris today is stunned, is heartbroken, and newspaper writers have been trying to put those emotions into words. This headline reads, "Tears." This one reads, "Disaster."
Yeah, it was stunning to say the least. The steeple has been restored and much progress has been made in restoring the cathedral to its former splendor. I don't know if you've ever been there. It is a magnificent, magnificent edifice. Whether or not it's going to be fully open for this year's Summer Olympics, we'll have to see. That's still up for debate. We'll see what happens. Pope Francis also scheduled to visit 4 Asian nations in early September. Say a prayer for his health. It'd be great to see him do that. He's going to be going to Jakarta. That's the capital of Indonesia and Papua New Guinea and Singapore and a couple other places. It's going to be a grueling trip. He's 87 years old, suffers sciatica. He's got one lung, right? And we know he's had difficulty throughout Lent. He had to hand off some of his homilies for others to read. So it must be very important for him to make his presence felt there. So remember him in your prayers. I think the Holy Spirit's at work, though, don't you? I don't know where you are, what you're seeing in your own church, in your own community. I think as evil rises, grace abounds all the more. I think God's reaching out to people. He's bringing them into the church. Generally speaking, if a parish brings 20 people into church at the Easter Vigil, that's usually considered a pretty big number, pretty high number. I was at church this Sunday, and I heard the priest once again welcome all of these new Catholics who've come to the church on Easter. It's only been a couple weeks now, so... there are even some of these, you know, big city cathedrals that don't get 20 people to come into them. So when news got out that the Church of St. Paul the Apostle in Northeast Columbus, which is a suburb of Westerville, Ohio, received, check this number out, 67 people. I mean, it's over 5 dozen people. It's wild. Coming into the church this, you know, I guess 3 weeks ago now, It got the world, you know, got my attention at least. And they also had 37 baptisms, just a stunning number. And the question that I wanted to ask, and it should be something all of us in our diocese and our parishes, what are they doing? What are they doing right? Right? How are they bringing about that type of conversion and welcoming so many people into the church? Again, the number here isn't just about numbers. That's not really what this whole conversation is about. It's not about getting people into the pews. It's really inviting people to come into a living, intimate relationship with Jesus. That's what this is all about. It's what we want for our family members, right? It's what we should want for others as well. So we've invited the great pastor from St. Paul the Apostle Church in Westerville, Father Jonathan Wilson, to join us today. And it's great to have him here. Hey, Father, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations. I just want to say bravo to you. That was such good news when I saw that story.
Well, we're honored to share the good news. And of course, we want to give God all the glory. And we're encouraged. And just listening to the introduction to today's show and all the challenges in our world, it just highlights the urgency of our mission. And so happy to share our experience today.
So, Phyllis, I mean, I don't know whether you were surprised by that or not, whether this is common for your parish or something different is happening. Tell us the story. I mean, how did you get 67 people to come
surprising,
in?
Surprising for sure. So when I arrived as the pastor, in July of 2019, that we had just the Easter before my arrival, we had welcomed 19 people into the church, which was basically kind of that standard number that you mentioned for large parishes. We're a large suburban parish of 4,200 families. And so to have 67 was truly an increase for us over these years. We've been trending up, but nothing of this number. I was actually on sabbatical in the fall, and that was also a very special surprise of grace for me as I was making a 30-day retreat and kind of renewing my priesthood, that I got news about this large class and that they had to move venues from the room that we had into the gym, and that there was this growth that was encouraging for everybody.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Into the gym, I hope you had enough support to teach all those people too. Probably had to add more to the ranks.
Yeah, great team.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know the story. I don't know your parish. I bet if somebody had to say, hey, what do you think was at work behind the scenes? I bet you have adoration in your parish. Am I accurate in that?
We do. We're expanding adoration for sure. We've dedicated Thursdays, and that was something we began when I arrived, and that's been a great blessing for sure.
It's one of the great fruits. We often see parishes that have adoration. You know, we see an increase in vocations. Of course, they also statistically say that crime in the community decreases as well, and even donations go up. But there are obviously some things going right in your parish. Do you know what they are? I mean, what is it? Is it confession that you have available?
Sure.
I think of the cure of ours and how many people came into the church.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, God is good. I think some things that I reflect on is one, during the pandemic, I was led to enthrone our parish to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and then to consecrate the parish to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that, in my mind, it is his parish. He is the king. She is the queen mother. And I see special graces flowing from that enthronement. And then we did a 9-month novena that culminated in June of 2021, the month of the Sacred Heart.
Wow.
So the whole parish could participate as we were coming back to Mass in person. I think we have an RCIA program that is offering content, particularly with the Eastern Province Dominicans have a program called Credo, which is very rich in terms of catechetical content. And people want truth. They're looking for truth. And I think they appreciate that they are being bad. And so there is sort of a little momentum right now in the program where recent converts are also generating new converts. And that's been a great encouragement for me. And then I don't know, you know, the Holy Spirit works, and I am, I definitely am not going to position myself as the quote super priest or anything like that. But God is working. I would say that you know, we are trying to elevate the liturgy, the beauty of the liturgy, the reverence of the liturgy. And I think at some level we're communicating something about the sacred that people are getting and are responding to. We're trying to make young adults a priority. And that was a real joy for me to see a large number of young adults coming from backgrounds of no faith or maybe a strong Christian faith and coming into the Catholic Church.
Well, it's fantastic. Again, just congratulations to you. You know, and I think about what you're doing within the church. I think the consecration, I think Sacred Heart devotion, Immaculate Heart of Mary, adoration, all these things are really important. But you know, I also tip my hat to your parishioners because, you know, there's got to be others who are going to introduce their friends or those in their sphere of influence who say, hey, why don't you come here? Why don't you learn more about the faith? So you must have some well-formed parishioners. They must be on fire for the faith.
Well, and as I was thinking about this interview today and your listeners, just want to encourage them to we're all called, right? Go make disciples, right? Yep. And so we're all called, and the RCIA program in our local parish is an opportunity for us. And I think this is a communal effort. We have parishioners who are very devoted to being on the team, journeying with the new converts, and it's a beautiful, beautiful part of parish life, and something that I just would encourage any and all listeners today to prayerfully consider being part of that effort and journeying with people as they come into the church.
Yeah, well, I love it. Father, I have about a minute or two left. Just final thoughts to maybe other pastors or parishes, maybe what they can do, because this is it's such an important part of what we are as Catholics, or even to the individual out there who's thinking, I'm kind of intrigued by the Catholic faith, but I've got these issues with it. So I'll let you address both those people.
Absolutely. Well, I would just say that the RCIA program, that journey into the faith, that's the way the door opens on the very local level. And for those who have questions, just encourage you to connect with your local parish and connect with your pastor and the RCIA team there. And for the parishioners, just to continue to be open to opportunities to share. Again, just going back to the introduction to today's show, if that isn't motivating us to want to bring Jesus into this broken, hurting world, I don't know what will. And also just to rely on grace and prayer, because this is, as St. Paul says, it's God who gives the growth.
Amen. Well, Father, congratulations. I'm delighted. And I'm really glad you picked up on that point, too. What's the solution to all the problems and the ills of our culture into the world? It's Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
And we have to be in a relationship with him. Keep up your good work. I pray the chaplet every afternoon on this network around about 30 minutes from now. And I will remember you and your parish in my personal prayers, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for your work, and God bless you and all of our listeners today.
Thank you. Great to have you with me today. That's Father Jonathan Wilson. If you do want to check him out or his parish, I'll give you their website. They are St. Paul the Apostle Church in Westerville. It's stpacc.org. You can check him out there, and maybe you got a question or a comment. Hey, if you are on the fence about coming into the church, I really invite you to explore it. I had a friend who was a fallen away Catholic, a couple who moved next to me, and his wife wasn't Catholic. And, you know, RCIA, the rite of Christian initiation, his father was talking about, does wonders to clear up misconceptions. And as a Catholic, I was a sponsor for two different people that came into the church. It helped me. It will help you too. So I really invite you to check it out. If you're hearing my voice today and you're thinking about that, I'm telling you, maybe God's speaking to you. And if you're away from the church, I also invite you to come home. All right, come back. You're missing out on tremendous grace. You're missing out on healing. You're missing out on really where you're intended to be. So, you know, never too late to come back. The Sacrament of Reconciliation is there for you too. I've got to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about tax day. I'm assuming your taxes are done. I don't know where you're listening to me right now, but man, where I was, the weather was gorgeous yesterday. And I thought, oh, those poor people who haven't done their taxes on a day like this makes it doubly hard to try to finish them. And maybe you're not done yet. right? Maybe you are not done. Maybe you're saying, Drew, I don't have the money to pay the taxes, or I don't have all the materials. I don't know how to do this. I wish we had a flat tax, right? Well, Aaron Whitaker, former IRS agent, is going to be stopping by, and we will take a look at tax day and what happens if you don't file your taxes by today. All right. We'll also bring you up to speed on some things that could get you flagged. And maybe you realize, oh, my gosh, I made an error. I misreported. Well, we'll tell you what you can do to correct that problem. And if you got a question, I only have them for a few minutes. I thought I'd make it a quick hit for you. I'll open the phones and you can tap into his expertise at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Taxes are due for most people by 11:59 tonight, so we're talking about a matter of hours. But I said most people because there is another option for taxpayers who aren't quite ready to file that return, or they just need a little extra time. Well, how about 6 more months? The IRS does offer a 6-month extension, which would push your due date back to October 15th. Now, if you suspect that you may owe the government some money this year, even with an extension, you should still attempt to file your tax return today, because that extension doesn't give you more time to pay. In fact, you'll end up owing more if you wait.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Now, I should have done some research and looked at the rate of heart attacks that follow August 15th. You know how much stress people get under? It freaks them out. It really does. And if you're a procrastinator, you know, boy, this is it. You have hours before the post office closes or till you file online. It is tax day. And Aaron Whitaker is going to be stopping by. I want to ask him just about a flat tax. I mean, I wish there was some alternative to doing taxes, don't you? I spend so many hours of my life, so many days just pulling stuff together, right? I mean, and many of us hand it off to somebody else once you gather that material, or you might do it yourself. I know people use online apps and they use TurboTax and things along those lines. But, you know, are you taking advantage of everything you should have? Are you doing something wrong that's going to get you flagged? What if you don't have the money to pay? I just heard that rejoin at the top of the segment here about, delay, postponements, or what's the word I'm looking for, Baggy? Is it deferral? I don't know why I'm zoning out of extension. Thank you, Maggie. Extension. Had a little mental block there, but we'll take a look at it. You know, tax day usually set on April 15th, and I saw a little history on it earlier today. The origin of tax day goes all the way back to 1913, following the ratification of the 16th Amendment, which Congress granted them the authority to impose federal income tax. That was a horrible day, for a lot of Americans, but you got to keep the country running. The initial deadline was actually March 1st. That would have been it. It got pushed to March 15th in 1918, eventually ended up April 15th in 1955, a date chosen to spread out the peak workload of the IRS, who had to process these returns. Guess how many returns the IRS gets annually? 150 million. And I guarantee you, AI is putting its eyes on a lot of these things. Let's talk about it today. Let's talk, and we'll take your calls. I only have a few minutes with Aaron Whitaker today, and you probably know him. He's been with me in the past. He's got about 30 years of examination and appeals experience. Formerly worked for the IRS. He's got his own organization right now called Whitaker EA, W-H-I-T-A-K-E-R, WhitakerEA.com, if you want to get in touch with him. And we can take a look at everything from reports that, the IRS is now using artificial intelligence to look through your tax files to see if there's something anomalous with it, that they could catch you cheating. In fact, yesterday I saw a report and President Biden made this campaign. Hey, we're going to be going after people who make $400,000 or more. They're going to be the target of the majority of these audits. And last night, I don't know what the news source was that I saw it on. They say 60% of the audits are done for people who make $200,000 or less, 60% of them. And that's in large part because most Americans don't have legal teams or law firms or big accounting firms to defend them and fight these things. But I hope you don't get audited. It is not a pleasant experience. Aaron joins me right now. Aaron, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. It's good to be back.
So this is it. Tax day for a lot of Americans. So days like this, or even when you're doing your taxes, I often think, gosh, I wish there was a simpler way of doing taxes. Is there anything being floated around? What about this idea for a flat tax or some alternative? Mm-hmm. What do you know about that? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, flat tax has been talked about for years. And in fact, I had proposed when I worked for the IRS a kind of a graduated flat tax, and you would have thought I had three heads. But you have to remember, and I think the hardest thing for anybody to remember is that Congress has to enact whatever the laws are. Mm-hmm. And it's like people get upset at the IRS all the time. When clients come to me, I tell them, look, go home, look in the mirror, yell at the person you see, and then come back and talk to me. It's not like the IRS is doing this, that, or whatever. There's a reason that return got picked. Yeah. And, you know, flat tax would make it a lot easier, I'm sure. IRS would only focus on is all income reported. But the problem is we can't get people to agree on what time of day it is, let alone anything else anymore.
I mean, the tax code is, what, thousands of pages?
Yes, when I started, the tax code was initially one book, and now it's half a dozen books and then some for the code and the regulations.
It's wild. It really is. You know, a lot of people say
there's nobody that remembers everything.
I know. I mean, you hope you have somebody good doing your taxes. You know, a lot of Americans use TurboTax and things along those lines. Is that a good alternative if they want to do stuff themselves online, maybe at the IRS website, or you're better off hiring a professional?
All of the tax softwares are good, but the problem is if you don't know what you're doing, it's like 100 forks in a road. You can take 99 forks correctly, but if you take one of them wrong, you can be in the wrong zip code. Mm. And I end up fixing a lot of returns every year, probably anywhere from 10 to a dozen returns where people tried to do it themselves and they had some complex issues. And those are the ones that really do need somebody to help them out. And they're usually people that have a small business. And I heard you talking about an article or whatever about people making $200,000, and it seemed like a number had gotten picked. And I would bet, and I don't bet on much, but I would bet that most of those people were people that had small businesses, because that is the area, one of the areas of highest percentage of changes when the IRS pulls returns. And Drew, I think you and I had talked last time we talked that when the IRS pulls a return, there's about an 85% chance that there is a change, and that either somebody's going to owe something or somebody's going to get a refund, which is, it does happen, and about 15% of a no change. But their algorithms are good enough that they can expect a return on investment. And by return on investment, I'm talking about Congress giving them staff years and money to fund them.
So, you know, we're at a point right now, it's the final day of taxes. If people haven't gotten them done, they might be overwhelmed. I don't have all my receipts. I don't know how to do this. I don't care. Or, my gosh, I owe money. Inflation has really taken everything out of my wallet. I can't afford to pay these taxes. Let's talk about what happens when somebody files late. I know the most common failure to file, the most common penalty is failure to file. Fill us in on what happens. What advice would you give to somebody who's saying, I'm not doing it, I'm throwing in the towel?
Well, the funny thing is I'm actually out of my office because I'm going to spend the next 5 days with my grandkids. And I got a phone call while I was driving. Somebody wanted not to file a return. And I said to them, look, if you can't, even if you don't have the money, either file a return or file the extension. The cost is much lower. If you don't file a return and don't file an extension, the IRS can penalize you up to 5% a month for 5 months, plus, and that's for failure to file, and then failure to pay is 0.5% a month up to a maximum of 24%. Wow. So it's being penalized 0.5% a month for not being able to pay is a heck of a lot cheaper than 5% a month.
Wow. So what kind of penalties does the federal government assess if you don't file your taxes by today? Is there a base number?
Yeah, it depends on whether or not you file an extension. If you file an extension and owe money, right now the penalty is about 0.5% a month for what's called failure to pay. It's failure to pay on time by April 15, and about 0.5% a month for interest. So let's just say the client I was talking to, they were going to owe $8,000. So 1% of that's $80. So if and we did end up filing an extension for them. Because extensions can be filed through the tax softwares. If anybody is doing their own on tax software, you can file it electronically. You can do it by mail. I highly recommend people use some kind of software if they're not using a professional, because mail gets lost.
Yeah. So your advice, file even if you can't pay. And then the other thing I just want to throw out on the table, too, is what are the red flags? You know, there may be people who have, you know, reported inaccurate income, or they're claiming excessive donations, or, you know, rounding up their numbers, things like that, that I know with AI now can really get you. Yeah, you picked
well,
off.
What people don't realize is that the IRS has had a form of AI probably back since the 50s, and it's an algorithm called the DIF score. And what that does is it takes all the factors, and it's constantly modified. And it pretty much says, you know, hey, if somebody's living in a Beverly Hills zip code and claiming they lost $250,000 and only made $50,000,
right,
well, where'd they get the other $200,000 to lose?
Yeah.
There's a high probability that they probably haven't reported something on the return.
Yeah.
The other thing that really comes out and bites people is they'll get 1099s and they'll lose them.
Yeah.
That's another reason possibly to file an extension. Because if you don't think you have all of your 1099s, you can file an extension. And then by the end of May, there's an IRS transcript called the wage and income transcript. And it starts to populate with every document charged to your Social Security number.
Yep.
So you can pull that transcript from the IRS, or if you have a tax professional with power of attorney, they can pull that transcript and they can match it up to what the client's knowledge is.
Wow.
And so that's many great. Times I find out somebody says, oh, I forgot all about that one. And it might be something significant. And just by them waiting and filing the extension, well, maybe they're going to pay 1% a month, but at least they're not going to get a love letter from IRS 12 months down the line, proposing interest and higher penalties.
Aaron, I only have a minute left. Let me see John from Linden, New Jersey, and it's near the New York area. John, good afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Question I've been trying to ask anybody from the IRS or whatever. Whatever happened to Form 1040-EZ? That's it.
All right. Thank you, John.
Whatever happened to the EZ? I'm afraid I can't answer that. You know, I just really don't know.
That's interesting. Well, look, let me leave it at this point because I got to take a break here. If people want more information, I know they can go WhitakerEA.com to your website. They want to track you down. Whitaker's WHITAKER. And just final thoughts from you, Aaron, as we are watching the sand drain through the hourglass on this tax day, just hours left to get that return in or that extension. Aaron?
Well, the big thing is just, you know, file something, file a return or file an extension, but do something by today, because you will not have that penalty.
No.
I apologize. I got some background noise
problem.
All of a sudden that I wasn't expected.
No problem. Well, Aaron, let me leave it at that point. Thank you for being here and enjoy those grandkids. Okay.
Thank you.
You got it, brother. Thanks for making time for us. That's Aaron Whitaker. Do yourself a favor, as you heard from his advice. If you missed any of this, go and download the podcast. File, even if you don't have the money to do it. All right, and file an extension if you think you need to. It's about 15 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to take a short pause. When we come back, I'm going to get you up to speed on something else where time is running out. And I'll fill you in on that right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I think for many people, what we believe about the Eucharist is so remarkable. I mean, to say that this piece of bread, that this chalice filled with wine literally becomes God, it takes an enormous amount of faith to say that, because the Eucharist still tastes like bread and wine, still looks like bread and wine.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's the source and summit of our faith, right? The Eucharist. The Diocese of Madison produced a campaign called Dare to Believe. And they did that to point people to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I assume everybody knows what I know, and that's really foolish to assume because that is not the case. I've been talking about the National Eucharistic Congress for a little while now, and this is going to be an event of extraordinary grace. And in studio with me today is Preston Alex. He's our chief financial officer here. And I just said to him, I said, I assume everybody knows, but the reality is there's people who come and go and maybe learning about this for the first time. Let's talk a little bit about the National Eucharistic Congress is, because I know we also, gosh, it's going to be here before we know it and time's running out.
Yeah. So every once in a while, it's been a while in America, the bishops or the Vatican will sanction what they call a Eucharistic Congress. It's got kind of a conference element to it where there's great talks, great experiences, but then there's this element of deep devotion to the Eucharist, and it's the heart and the soul of the event itself. And so only the bishops can call upon this, and we've had one in Philly like 50 years ago. We had one in Chicago 100 years ago. Hundreds of thousands of people come out. They just come to worship God and show up for Jesus and just make this dramatic impact. I believe that this country has been transformed by these events where people have received so many graces. And I want everybody to be there this upcoming summer, July 17th in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's going to be extraordinary. I'm looking forward to it. I know Relevant's going to be there. My colleagues are going to be there. Father Rocky and Patrick and the whole team. Cam's going to be Tim Marie.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good event. Lots of different things going on there too, just for those who don't know. We have masses. There's Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There's going to be workshops and talks. There's going to be processions. There's going to be opportunities for confession. There's going to be cultural events. They've got some of the brightest speakers in the country that are going to be there.
Yeah, and some people are like, oh, I can just go to Mass at home, or I can go to confession at home. But it's a whole nother level when you're going there with 50 bishops and hundreds of priests and tens of thousands of Catholics. You know, God said where two or three are gathered together, there I'm in the midst. But imagine thousands of people gathered for this one sole intention of coming together for God. I just think the graces are going to be outpouring. Everybody's going to want to be there to just receive that. It's kind of like this special moment in time.
I had a friend who wanted to go, right? And she goes, oh, what hotel are you guys staying at? So I told her, she said, oh, I got to try to get in and get with it. And she's waited to kind of the last minute now, and they're scrambling to find a place. And I said to her, I said, look, it's your last chance to get lodging downtown right now. If you want to come, and there's so much going on in the city, and maybe you can speak to that, that if you are not kind of where Relevant Radio is, you're going to have to either park and drive, you know, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, who knows?
Maybe an hour.
Maybe an hour, right? But to be where we are, it's extreme. To that point a little bit, because I know that there's so much going on in the city. Rooms are right now at a premium. There's almost no rooms left.
Yeah, so Relevant Radio still has some rooms available in our block. So we're the presenting sponsor, Drew. They came to us very early saying, would we like to partner with you? And we said, absolutely. This is, you know, the Eucharist. That's one thing that we can all get all in on. So Father Rocky, without any pressure, just jumped right in and said, we're going to be partnering with you. And we secured a block early on. And we have 75% of that filled up right now. So it's when we've already been telling people about it this morning. I don't know how many more rooms we even have left, but they're downtown. They're easy access to the convention center, and they're a fairly affordable rate right now. If people are interested in that, relevantradio.com, there's a banner. Otherwise, relevantradio.com/indy, I-N-D-Y. Again, that's relevantradio.com/indy. We're partnering with Nativity Pilgrimages where they can help all your arrangements. We got ticket only if you just need a ticket. If you live in Indianapolis or in the surrounding areas, you just need a ticket. We have discounted tickets. If you get your ticket through us, you can get meet and greets with Drew and Father's newest book that's coming up that he'll tell more about later on. And then you'll be a part of the Relevant Radio family.
Father, and there's all sorts of presentations that are going on, right? Yep. Relevant had a room. The response to the relevant presentation was so strong, they had to move us into a much larger room.
Yeah, that's happening right now. So if you've already signed up, go to the National Eucharistic Congress, click register, and change your sign up to be at that relevant radio breakout session on Friday. It's from 2 to 4 p.m. It's a special event where Father Rocky, Drew, you're going to be there. Patrick's going to be there. And there's going to be just this extraordinary presentation and experience that Father's got planned. There'll be prayer. There'll be all sorts of...
I'm pumped.
That's one thing I'm looking for. The other thing I'm looking forward to is the Eucharistic procession with tens of thousands of people just taking over the downtown area, just shutting down the city for Christ. That seems like it's going to be unbelievable.
But those who sign in our block, if they're in the relevant radio block, they're in the same hotels as the relevant radio.
Same hotel as you people. And Drew and me and so the other the staff. Each other
in the elevators.
you'll run in each other breakfast. Every once in a while. it's going to be a good setup. That's one of the advantages of coming down. It's going to be a lot easier for travel for people if they're downtown with us. That's why we got the travel arrangements kind of figured out.
So what's the best way to connect? How do they do it again?
Yeah, relevantradio.com/indy, I-N-D-Y, or you can just click on the banner on the front page right now. Yeah. That's the easiest thing we do. If you don't travel with us, that's fine. Just go.
Yeah.
I mean, go with your parish, go with your diocese. I think our option is extremely attractive and easy for people. We try to make it that way. Otherwise, find somebody that you want to go with and go, because this isn't something that's going to happen again for who knows long. It's a once in a generation event.
Yeah, what was the last one?
It was in the 70s in Philadelphia.
It's wild. That's been a long time. Yeah, and this is a 3-year in the making process. This is, I think, year two of it. But the bishop, look, and I got to credit Father Robert or Bishop Robert Barron. Who said, look, we need a revival. When you look at the Pew Research numbers or Gallup or any of these that are out there, and it shows overwhelming lack of understanding that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, we got a crisis in the church. This is the source and summit of our faith. This is everything. People die. Many a martyr laid down their life for this. And I'm so grateful for our nation's bishop. Not saying, we're going to have one event. This is a 3-year process, and we're in the heart of it.
Yeah, Bishop Cousins has also been instrumental in this whole process. I mean,
He's coming on Thursday.
All right, that'll be excellent.
Thursday afternoon.
You know, he had really the vision for this whole roadmap.
Yep.
Bishop Barron will definitely be there, and he'll be speaking at this summer's conference, and he's been trumpeting this idea where we need to get a revival of the Eucharist. Yep. But Bishop Cousins has really led the way on this Congress and the parish movements. And so I'm excited about this because I see the bishops involved and I see the bishops excited about it, and they can only do so much. You know, they can only get the word out so much in their parishes. It's not something they can completely control, but I see more and more enthusiasm building especially over the last month even.
Yeah.
You know, just once people got into Lent, there has been people that are just coming out in droves just talking about how we really need this.
Yep. You also get a plenary indulgence if you come. I was reading about that over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting
special, assuming other conditions are met. And, you know, you actually have multiple chances for plenary indulgences because we have the family rosary every morning. If you come pray with that,
that's true too.
That's also a condition for a plenary indulgence. So there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of graces, a lot of ways to learn more and go deeper in your faith. I highly recommend it to anybody out there that's even thinking about it. You need to sign up now, though. That's the biggest thing right now. That's why I'm here, is to tell you got to sign up if you haven't already. If you even have an inkling going, you got to make a commitment because there's time's running out. We're less than, I think it's like 3 months away, 13 weeks.
Yeah. And it's going to go fast. You know, I've seen this happen before, Preston. Everybody waits to the very last minute.
Yeah.
When I would speak at events or other things, people are like, we're a little worried. You know, they have these huge conferences. They're sold out because everybody waits the last 2 weeks to come in. Yeah. You won't get a room if you wait to the last 2 weeks. It's your last chance to do that. I know we have limited rooms right now. I hope you can hang out with all of us. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there for days. Actually, we're doing our radio show there. Patrick's going to do his show. I'm doing my show. In fact, we're actually broadcasting live on Saturday as well. So,
people will be able to come right up to the mic and ask questions, talk to you, you know, give their feedback. It's going to be quite amazing.
Pray with us. It's going to be a spectacular event.
Yeah.
And as I said when I began, I think it's going to be a grace-filled event. I think God really is going to bring... He's going to offer grace. So bring your kids who are away from the faith,
you know,
or somebody that's lukewarm in the faith, or somebody who just came into the church. I was at a Eucharist conference once, and there was 10,000 people or 5,000. It was so inspiring to see so many people worshiping God together. I can't imagine 80,000 people.
I can't wait.
Doing that. It's going to be relevantradio.com/indie.
That's right. Or just the banner right now on our homepage, relevantradio.com. Make it as simple and easy. You can see what's going on, whether you need just tickets or if you need travel arrangements or you want to be in our block of rooms, go there now.
Yeah. Come hang out with us. Be in our block. It'll be fun.
It'll be great.
It's going to be great to hang out with everyone. I think my wife Kathy's coming too. So we'll all get to hang out. All right. It is top of the hour. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. I know the phone lines fill up very quickly. If you want to get in, I'll give you the number. You can try 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. One more reminder to you, relevantradio.com/indie. I just went to the website. You'll see a big banner there. You can click on it. There's a video there for you and to learn much more. Share that link with others too, okay? I'll be right back. We'll pray.